JR.com and by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHsystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Quavis on Saturday. What did you see from the other tight ends that were able to get in the game?
I thought Jay Lindsey showed up, had a little bit of physicality in the run game. Caleb got kind of extended into some roles and some spots that he hadn't normally been when Josh was around. So that was great to see him try to navigate that a little bit. Had a nice catch on the sideline there from Key. And really was kind of focusing on those two guys and see what their ability was going to be in the game.
Staying on the right side of the day.
How was the sideline, and do you expect to be back there?
It was great. And, yeah, you know, that was something I've been thinking about, honestly, since the beginning of the year. And the last few weeks, it's kind of been adding up on me a little bit. And I just felt like I could make a difference, honestly. Some of it was for me, selfishly, to make sure that my communication with the coaches and players is where I want it to be. So I feel good about the plays that I'm calling in the next series. But even just being down there with Ty and Keelan and Austin was great. Obviously, think the world of Nick and trust him. He does a fantastic job with those guys on the sideline. But for me, just being right there in the thick of it and being able to make the adjustments I want to make felt really good. So it was great being down there.
Got a chase on the far left side.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Ty Simpson's play this past Saturday. Had a couple balls. I'm sure he won it back. What did you think about his performance, and how did he come away from it thinking?
Yeah, I think he had one that he wanted back. You know, obviously the interception at the end of half shows the kind of player Ty is. You know, he's selfless. You know, ask him to put the ball up in a 50-50 situation. A guy that's worried about stats wouldn't have done that for the team. So don't worry about that one. The layered ball and the two throw, you know, he just needed just a little bit more air on, honestly. He just underestimated how deep that guy was, and Ty makes that throw as good as anybody in the country, so certainly knows, you know, he could either wait it to the next window or layer that. But I thought he had good command early in the series, had a good couple run checks, had box counts where we needed it to be. So I was happy with where he's at, and he did a great job, honestly, you know, supporting Austin and Keelan after he was out.
I should have been more clear. I wasn't talking about that.
Okay. I was just make sure. I want to give a shout to my guy, make sure everybody knew.
He threw a ball with about a minute left in the first half over the middle that almost got him.
Yeah, he had one to Lottie in the middle. That's correct. He had a sideline throw available there to Ryan that he could have made. A little bit of miscommunication between him and Lotz here. So he definitely didn't want to force that one on the inside. You're correct.
Let's go to Katie, second row on the left.
Back during Tennessee week, you said you were still kind of learning about the rivalries and things around here. So what have you learned now heading into Auburn this week?
Iron Bowl is everything. You got to win. And there's, you know, end of the season, rivalry week, you know, you're just thankful to be at a place that has something that means so much to the state and, you know, to the program. So certainly with our players and the people around the program, nobody's taking it for granted, and just excited to be part of it, you know, and get in the thick of it with the guys. So they know what it's all about.
Jump over to Colin.
Back to the sideline kind of question. What was the last time that you were on a sideline regularly, and kind of what's the, I guess, what did that conversation look like preseason to be like, I want to be in the booth compared to?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. I did a few times at Fresno. Some of it has to do with, you know, comfort level with two parts. Number one, the people that you have in the box as far as your eyes in the sky, and then also where you're at with the guys on the sideline. And so I tend to focus more on the positive part, meaning the guys that are in the box for us, Tyler Hughes and Mitch Dolan are as good as it gets. Those guys both have been in our system and with me for a number of years. So whatever information I need to collect that I don't think I have a good enough vantage point on, I know I'm going to get accurate information from those guys. So I had a lot of confidence with that. And I felt like just, again, the collaboration on the field, the in-game adjustments can happen quicker for me and the rest of the guys.
Let's go Go to Emily Grace, right middle of the room there.
Coach, after having a chance to watch the film from Saturday, what are you going to build on this week in practice, and what are some focal points for the team as they face Auburn's defense on Saturday?
Well, obviously, we're happy to be able to put the ball in the end zone, running the football. The guys did a good job with that, even late in the game. And I know, you know, level of opponent and all those things, but, you know, I've been in those games where you're playing games like that and you really struggle to even, you know, get consistent 4 and 5 yard hits. So I thought the guys did a great job. I think Kalen said we played 80-some guys, you know, and so to be able to operate at the end where we had some clean run hits at the end of the game were awesome. And then moving forward again, you know, I think Auburn's a great defense and our opportunity to continue to build on eliminating negative yardage runs, which we got 2 weeks in a row with none right now. And that's, you know, something from the communication standpoint we want to continue to build on. And, you know, we didn't really put the ball down the field as much this last week as we normally do. So making sure we can balance that out between the play action game and the run game.
All right, last question will be from Joe.
Coach, Eastern Illinois had given up 200-plus rushing yards to four other opponents. On Saturday, y'all became the fifth. What did you see out of your running game? How do you feel about it moving forward? And off the wall, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Wow, okay. First one, I would say, you know, again, it really does come down to communication. I know that's a really boring response, but our ability to identify the right people and have the double teams headed to the right people is where it all starts. And, you know, you don't want to set the bar so low that it's like, hey, we're not getting negative yardage runs. You want explosive runs as well, but those don't happen until you can, you know, make sure you get the box set the way you want it. And, you know, for us, that's where it all begins. And then I think we can continue to build off of that and what the guys have done the last couple of weeks. And it's probably not a side dish, but I like pecan pie.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9...
Friday noon to 8 and Saturdays from 9 to 8. Every tree you buy helps support the Tuscaloosa YMCA programs, so you can deck your halls and help your community too.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Wow. Just hold on tight to that coffee. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. Offers end November 29th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope everybody's doing great. Segment number one, we went ahead and rolled with the interview from yesterday. Ryan Grubb speaking to the media, got some interesting perspectives that I just wanted to play. Really, him being on the sidelines, I thought that was interesting. He explained his decision to do that. And well, the reason we made the decision to go ahead and play that was if you guys are in the area, you already know there's, you know, stormy weather right now. And anytime there's stormy weather in my neighborhood, man, I'm at risk of. I don't know what the system is, Chase, that we have, man. I do have, you know, it's a historical neighbor, but it's like you just always hear like a boom, and then like and like electricity's out. So unfortunately, that happened literally like right as we were about to come on here. So luckily, Chase saved the day, got us some Ryan Grubb interview going, and now we're back ready to roll. My power is still out, but I've got my backup stuff ready, and hey, we're rocking and rolling. That's all that matters. It is a Tuesday, Talking Tuesday, so we're looking forward to talking with everybody. 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear from you guys. We got a lot in store for today. Top of the hour, we anticipate talking with Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Excited to do that, get his thoughts on the Eastern Illinois game briefly. Then we're definitely turning our attention to the Iron Bowl, where we're going to talk a little bit more about that matchup today. Again, we will not be live on Thursday because it is Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has some good plans and is anticipating a great Thanksgiving holiday. So we will be out of studio, but we have plenty of time to talk about this matchup, the Iron Bowl. We know what comes with that. And QD actually read my mind yesterday. I talked about wanting to get some folks on. Well, I reached out to several folks, and I'll let you know once we have them penciled in for sure. But anticipating hearing from Roman Harper at some point this week, and Josh Pate as well. So hopefully we get those guys on. I know they're busy this week, but they told me they're going to try to squeeze that in there and just need to get the time set. But that is on the schedule. Hopefully everything works out with that. But again, we got Clint Lamb top of the hour today, and looking forward to talking about that. But there's a couple of things, Chase, that I want to mention real quick, since I didn't get to do it, obviously, in the first segment. A couple little things that have been coming up that we didn't talk much about. We didn't get to hear from Kane Wahman yesterday either. And there's a couple of things that he talked about. One really important thing that I wanted to bring up, and that was he was asked about the Arkansas job, or maybe I can't remember if it was that job specifically, or just was his name coming up in job searches. I think it was a little bit more of a broader general question, but he respectfully declined to answer. And I don't blame him one bit. We already see the circus and fiasco that's going on in hottie-totty land, right? Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. So I definitely respect him kind of just keeping it football, keeping it the main thing and not getting into all that. But I will say this, it was kind of interesting, though. Sometimes people take the route that, hey, we're locked in here, we're very pleased. He was kind of just like, hey, I'm not anticipating talking about that respectfully. So, and I don't blame him, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, he was a head coach prior to coming here. He comes and takes a defensive coordinator job. Obviously, the opportunity to come to the University of Alabama was a big one that he couldn't pass up. But we'd all be lying if we said we didn't expect him to be anticipating becoming a head coach again. I mean, I know for a fact. I mean, he wants to be a head coach, with that opportunity comes. So does not shock me at all that he is being pursued, especially the way he's playing right now, right? Or his defense, I should say. His defense is playing extremely well. And I saw some stats recently that prove that even further, right? I mean, statistically, our defense is about top 10 in a number of categories. Total defense, scoring defense, you name it, man. These guys have really been playing their tails off, and you got to tip your hat, because, again, we talked about this past couple weeks, but this unit went from, really you're scratching your head week one, and then next couple weeks still kind of having some concerns with the explosives in the running game. But, over the last month or so, man, they've been about as sound as you could ask. Lights out, and they're playing some really good football. So I bring that up to say, number one, I guess I'm just going to ask this question directly. Do you guys believe that we see Kane Womack leave after this season, right? Or do you think he still has some time left with us? I said last week I didn't anticipate him leaving after this season. I thought it would have been a little premature, but the way it sounds right now, I'm not going to lie to you, it sounds like he might definitely have that opportunity already, which – I wouldn't say it shocks me, but I was anticipating probably maybe one more year. But who knows? Could be coming sooner. We'll have to see. The Arkansas job, which is available, I mean, would make the most sense, knowing that, that's his alma mater, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to return if they had that opportunity? It's an SEC gig. I think that would be, for him, probably like a dream type of job. That said, you could not blame a guy like that wanting to take that position if it was offered to him. I mean, I would encourage him to do it, right? That's awesome, even though, I don't like the idea of having to replace a coordinator just because, you never know how that's going to go. But, you got to be happy for these guys that earn these opportunities, man. I mean, especially, the task that he had. You talk about Kalen DeBoer coming into Tuscaloosa, taking over for the GOAT. Well, I mean, this guy had a very similar deal if you think about it. I mean, the GOAT, right, Coach Saban's a defensive guy. Everybody was always going to not only talk about the next head coach, they're going to talk about the next defense. Because why? Everybody talked about Coach Saban's defense. So he had some big shoes to fill, and I'm not going to lie. Initially, I was a little on the fence, and I remember breaking down the defense. I'm like, man, I don't know. It seems a little simple. Some of the concepts are not the biggest on, but to be fair, man, he's proved to a lot of people that he's got a damn good system that allows his players to make plays and does exactly what he said when he got out of here, man. It lets them be the athletes that they are, attack the football, come up with turnovers, and a lot of the concerns that I initially had didn't end up being quite that big of a deal. So I say all that to say he's done a really good job here, as long with you know, all the other guys on that staff on the defensive side. I think they've all done a really nice job since arriving here about a year and a half ago. That being said, Chase, let me ask you first, as we're asking our listeners, and again, you can respond 205-342-9904 or always drop your answers here on stream. Again, we stream live every day at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, or you can always drop your responses in the app message. I'll make sure we go back and really check that as much as possible. But Chase, what do you think, man? Do you think Kane Womack will be with us for the 2026 season, or do you think he might be out of here and pursuing another coaching position?
I think he'll stay. I think what he's built here so far in his two seasons, you think about the upside from last year to this year, it's not even the same thing. It's just kind of, it's crazy how much has changed on the defensive side of the ball, how many questions we had in the secondary, you know, just so many things that we were so nervous about for this season. We're not really questioning anymore. So I beg the question, Kane, why would you leave something that you've built that could potentially put you in a better position for seasons to come? Because obviously, I would imagine he wants to be a head coach one day, especially in the, like you said, the SEC. But let's think about it now. Arkansas, of all teams, there are so many other programs that are going through turmoil right now that if he stays a little bit longer, continues to build what he has at Alabama, maybe he entertains it. But I feel like it'd be fool's gold if he takes the Arkansas job, because they're still rebuilding. They're at the bottom. There's nothing against Arkansas. Like, they have the money, Jerry Jones, no chicken nuggets, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like there's so many other opportunities out there besides Arkansas that he can look into. And what he's doing, again, as the defensive coordinator of the famous Crimson Tide, I feel like he's building something here that if he leaves now, it's not going to look so good, because there's always that fear of, like, what if he doesn't do well, right? But I feel like if he continues to learn more, continues to learn the reins under Kellen DeBoer, and, you know, he has Nick Saban here, other assistants that have been here before, like Kirby Smart, look what they've done. So I think if he waits a little longer, continues to learn, I think he can be a great head coach. But leaving when it's too early can really burn him, especially at Arkansas when they need winning, like, right now.
That's an interesting perspective, Chase. And listen, here's what I'll say. I agree with some aspects of, like, the leaving too early or taking something that might be, you know, bigger than what you can chew, or you get what I'm saying. I understand that aspect. I think you're right. I think sometimes guys do kind of jump the gun and they end up in a position where it might not be the right fit, or it might be a little too soon. Then what happens, right? 2 years later, they're looking for a new job, and then they're kind of back, you know, starting almost kind of. Coaching is a very interesting deal, right? It's almost like you definitely have to strike while the iron's hot, but you always want to end up in the right position than, you know, the wrong one at the, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm trying to see, how would I say this? Like, I don't know how, the best way to put it right now, but you get what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to rush things and end up being in a position that's not the best, because the way coaching works is, number one, if you're not that, well, if you're an assistant coach, you're just like, you're relying on that head coach. If he goes, most of the time, the rest of you guys go, then it can become like a cycle. And it's, I don't know, maybe I'm not explaining the best, but if you guys know anybody that's in coaching, you understand. I mean, like, you can be here 1 minute, gone the next. Everything's great. You go get hired for this big gig, and the next thing you know, 2 years later, you get fired. Now you're struggling just to find another coordinator spot. Then you might have to go back to being a position coach for a couple of years and work your way back up. You know, it's very tricky, right? And it's very relationship based. That said, the one thing I would disagree or give you pushback on, Chase, is I feel like Arkansas would be, for him, a home run. And the reason I say this, he played at Arkansas. He's got a lot of history there. It's no different to me, like how Kirby, like his dream probably was always to coach at Georgia. I'm sure Kirby still also has aspirations to maybe coach here one day too, because of, you know, the history that he has with Alabama. But as a player, right? Like, if I were to coach, I think my dream, just like I heard, I think Ty Simpson, right? His dream is to be a coach here at Alabama one day. coaching where you played is probably the dream of like every former player. That said, I think for him, that would always be like the dream job, other than something like if he got the opportunity to be a head coach here at the University of Alabama, right? I feel like if they offered him the job, and I'm referring to Arkansas, I feel like he takes it. Plus, if you think about it, Chase, he would be going from South Alabama to Arkansas, right? Like that's a big jump. You know what I mean? Like South Alabama, then now you're the head coach of an SEC program. I know it's Arkansas and I know they're struggling, but you got to understand the differences in the league, right? That's a big deal. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I mean, time will tell. And obviously he's not telling us anything, and I don't blame him. We'll have to, you know, wait and be patient, which I think that's the right move anyway. But that said, I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think. We are due for a timeout, so we'll go ahead and hit that. I'll read y'all's comments and respond so we can come back. 205-342-9904 is the number. Then we got JR on the phone lines. We'll go to him. Plus, I see some questions here in the chat, so we'll definitely talk about that as well. And don't worry, we're definitely going to break down this Iron Bowl game here. Coming up at 12 o'clock, we've got Clint Lamb, top of the hour, joining us from Cover Crimson. We'll talk with him as well. All that coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Free delivery now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
generation. I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu, the daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. We're just talking about the whole Kane Womack thing that came up during the press conference. He was asked about his name being linked to some job availabilities, and well, he declined to comment on it, respectfully, of course. And again, don't blame him one bit. That definitely was the idea, right? That, in my opinion, the way to go about it, right? Just keep things the main thing, focus on the main thing. It's like I'm trying to do. We've got trolls in the comment section over on YouTube, or excuse me, on Facebook. But anyway, That being said, you guys seem to agree with what I was saying. It's and I think Chase as well. If it's the right job, he ends up leaving probably. If not, I think he comes back at least one more season, which I think a lot of people would be happy with that, man. He's done a really nice job with this defense here. That being said, Chase, there's another thing I wanted to bring up real quick. Tuesday also means that we've got another playoff rankings that will be announced this evening. Interested to see how that looks. I know the AP poll didn't change a whole bunch. This past weekend was, you know, outside of, you know, Southern Cal and Oregon and maybe a couple others, a lot of quote-unquote cupcake games. So probably not too much movement, but will be interesting to see how everything shakes up if there is any movement whatsoever. But the playoffs are a little bit down the road. Before that, we've got the Iron Bowl. Then we've also got the SEC Championship with leads me to this point right here. I found this tweet. This was from the Southeastern Conference, the SEC. They posted this themselves. And I know we've talked about this, but this is like the official, I guess official graphic explaining how everything works, right? So here you go. So if Alabama will be in the SEC Championship game, this is what needs to happen. They just need to win. It's pretty cut and dry for us. You win, you're in. For Georgia to be in the SEC Championship game, they need an Alabama loss or a Texas A&M loss. For Ole Miss to be in, they need to win the Egg Bowl, right? Plus, Alabama to lose and Texas A&M to lose. So it's a long shot for those guys, but there still is a chance. And for Texas A&M, they need to win or Alabama loses and Ole Miss loses as well. So there you have it. I know we've been going a little bit of back and forth with trying to figure out the whole dynamic, who has the potential of being in, who is not, and well, there you go. Chase, that being said, now that you see that graphic and you have a clear idea, who's your prediction to be in it, right? I'll go ahead and give you mine. I think it's going to be Alabama, and I think, remember, you got Texas playing Texas A&M. So if they lose, there's a good chance that Georgia ends up making it in. That being said, it kind of rides on that game, in my opinion. I feel like A&M wins the game, so I'm just going to go Alabama and A&M. But it would not shock me if Texas does, in fact, ends up beating A&M and it ends up being a rematch between Alabama and Georgia, which I think will also make one hell of a game. How do you think it goes, man? What's your prediction?
I'm kind of riding the same way, too, Christian. I think with Texas A&M heading down to Austin, I think A&M is on a different wavelength this season. They are playing to their potential, I think. They're probably the favorites right now. And Georgia, it's not an automatic win for them either. You know, Georgia Tech is pissed that they lost to Pitt. So they're looking for revenge, and why not do it to their rival down in Atlanta? So I would think it'd be A&M and Alabama. I don't see Alabama losing this weekend. I'm not confident, but I think it would be box numbers, honestly. If it was Alabama and A&M, we've seen Alabama and Georgia too many times, and they're probably going to face each other in the playoffs anyways. So I think it would probably be an interesting matchup, but I don't think Ole Miss has a chance. I think Mississippi State will beat Ole Miss with so much that's going on with them. I spoke about it earlier this week with you. They just seem out of sorts, and doing it down in Stark Vegas is a tough place to do it at. But yeah, that's my prediction, it's Bama and A&M.
Yeah, that's what I'm going. But it wouldn't shock me, though, if Texas wins. Texas has been playing a lot better as of recent, and I think that's going to make one heck of a matchup. We'll have to see how that goes. But I do believe Alabama ends up in it regardless, right? And we'll talk about why they end up in it, because, in my opinion, they end up winning this game, which leads me to talk about this game, right? The Iron Bowl. We all know the history of it. We all know how important it is, and now it's more important than I shouldn't say than ever, but you get what I'm saying. Everything kind of lies in the hands of this game. You win, you're in. If you lose, well, that could spell trouble. And if you think about it, Chase, I mean, there's probably a lot of pressure on these coaches right now, and I'm not trying to do that. It is what it is. Like, let's just think about it. You win the football game, you're off to playing your first SEC championship game, and your playoff hopes are still alive. They're still alive. If you lose this football game, you missed the playoffs, but not only that, that makes two back-to-back years with a 9-3 record, and more than likely two back-to-back years of missing the playoffs, which we know how our fan base is. There's a high standard here. There's a very high expectation for this football program. I feel like this, I mean, the result of this game could literally steer the fan base and I guess the trajectory of this program one or two directions in very like in a big contrast, right? Maybe that's me being dramatic, but I think that's just kind of the reality of it. Most programs would probably be able to settle with, you know, back-to-back 9-3 seasons, but here that's just not going to cut it. So it's going to be interesting, and we'll talk about, you know, the ins and outs of this game. But first, we're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll do that. We'll dive into this matchup. I'll give you some previews and some talk about what they've got on their side, right? We always do that. We know what we've got. We'll give you some updates on that stuff too, a lot of injury news and whatnot. But talk about the other side, because they, listen, Chase, they might not have a great record, but I will say the last two games, man, ever since they've got rid of Hugh Freeze, man, I think they put up like a combination of almost like 100 points or so. They're playing with some new energy, and I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. We'll talk about why that is when we come back after this quick timeout right here, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Hey everybody, it's Gary Harris from the Gary Harris Show here at Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, wishing you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
What I'm most grateful for is the trust you place in us and the opportunity to share in your biggest moments.
Thank you, Tuscaloosa, for once again voting Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction.
Send off all IQBAR products, plus free shipping when you text IQBAR to 64,000. Text IQBAR to 64,000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBAR to 64,000.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to Auburn for the 90th edition of the Iron Bowl. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and early tonight. The high today, 72. Tonight's low, 63. Tomorrow, becoming mostly sunny and cooler. The high, 60. Thursday, sunny with a high at 51. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Expert. Just a reminder, we anticipate having Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson join us here in about 10 minutes or so. So we'll definitely dive in to this whole Iron Bowl talk even deeper. But let's go ahead and start now, right, Chase? We hadn't got to it just yet. The Iron Bowl, how's it looking this year, right? When you look at these two teams, you've got an Alabama football team with everything riding on this game, an Alabama football team who's playing lights out defense, one of the best defenses in the country. Matter of fact, in terms of just the conference, right? Scoring defense, we come in at number two right now. Total defense, we've now taken that number one spot. Rushing defense is still, hey, listen, we're making some strides, right? We're now number eight in rushing defense in the conference. So we're moving on up. Passing defense, number one. So you get the point, man. Defensively, we're playing some damn good football, arguably our best football at this point. The problem is on the other side, right? We've talked about it. It's almost like doing a little bit of a 180. Offensively, haven't seen that same offense that we saw for four or five games earlier on in the year. A lot of people, you know, summing it up to quarterback play. We do know that Ty hasn't looked as sharp as he looked once before. But I will say this, I don't think he's necessarily playing bad. I think he's definitely, had some turnovers that we need to clean up. But I can't, listen, I'm not one of these people, man, just knowing what I know about the game of football, I can't put everything on one guy. I never do. I never did last year when a lot of people did that with Milroe. And I always understood that there's always a lot of other factors. And I'm going to say the same thing with Ty. I can't put everything on him. Right? Because it's just not the case. I know he's had a turnover in the last, was like six or seven games straight, something like that. But I immediately also, I have to point the finger. Not, I don't want to say point the finger. I don't like using point the finger. But I have to hold the offensive line and the running backs in pass pro accountable. Right? Those guys have to do a better job as well. Even though I'm not saying they haven't, because the offensive line has done a good job protecting Ty. That is true. But I'm saying in some of those instances, it's not like, yes, he was the one that let the football go, but I always go back and look, right? Did the offensive line, did the running backs, did they hold up their protection? If not, it's not fair to put it all on him. It's a lot easier said than done. We can sit here watching the game and say, oh, he needs to hold on to the football. But I would urge anybody that immediately has that thought, which is a normal thought. I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking that, to put yourself in that position and imagine getting tackled by a 265-pound defender while not really seeing him, like being blindsided by somebody like that. Trust me, it's difficult. And you guys have already heard me talk about some of the other deficiencies that I also feel like play a role, but not necessarily, they're not as noticeable as a running back missing a block. Those things would be like, you know, not having that consistent running game. That puts a lot of pressure on any quarterback. That's why we said it last year with Jalen Milroe. People didn't want to listen to us. And that's why I've been saying it this year. I mean, these things are important whether you see them or not. That's why it sounded like I was being nitpicky early on in the year when I was talking about the running game, but everybody was like, oh, no, we're a passing team. That's what we do. That's what they want. I know how football works, and I'm like, yeah, you might want to pass the football, but you still, anybody you talk to will tell you, you can't be one-dimensional. And now I think those people that were giving me pushback on that are starting to see that come to fruition. That said, when we go into this game, man, first and foremost, it's all about composure, right? You know what's coming with it. You know you're in a hostile environment. We got to have that. It starts there, right? If we go into this game and we're already thinking on, oh, man, we haven't been playing well. Oh, we haven't been able to do this. Oh, we've had turnovers. You're already starting behind the eight ball, right? You got to be ready and go out there confident. And I just feel like we haven't seen that level of confidence from our offense in some time, not just from Ty, but even, you know, as a whole, right? I mean, like, I want to see the way these guys showed up to Athens, Georgia and play. Like, that's the level of confidence we need, right? And it starts with our guys up front. Even, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've seen, like, I know Ty's still been making, you know, his speeches pregame, but, like, there was a level of passion and fire and confidence that we saw to these guys when
they had that fuel from that week one loss that I feel like we've lost a little bit of that over the last few weeks. And I think it starts there from a mentality standpoint. We got to get that fire back, which I'm hoping with this being the Iron Bowl and then knowing how the last, I know we had Eastern Illinois, but before that, the disappointment of losing that football game, hopefully we see all that buildup come out in this game. But I still urge these guys, right, to take the approach. Like Coach Saban always said, you want to play with emotion, but don't be emotional. Because when you're emotional, that leads to mistakes. The good news is we haven't had many mistakes in terms of, you know, pre-snap penalties, things like that. But you still want to be conscious of it when you're on the road. It's important. It's going to be loud. But we've been doing a really good job of that. And that needs to continue that way as we go into this game. But I'm going to flip it around for a second, because before we go back to that, really what I think this comes down to when you're looking at both sides of it, I want to talk about their offense for a second while it's on my mind, because somebody just mentioned the quarterbacks in the comment section here. To me, defensively, man, that's going to be one of the biggest keys. Just two things, right? Stopping, you know, Ashton is who I anticipate seeing playing, but all three quarterbacks, they all have dual threat ability. They have that in common. That's going to be important. We know that that can always be an issue for a defense, and we don't want to have that an issue in this game. So being, you know, having your keys ready, everybody being dialed in, having good communication, being on the same page to take on that type of attack, you got to be ready for that. I expect some tempo. Would not be shocked if we see tempo in this game. And they've got some good skill guys, Chase. I'm not going to lie. Cam Coleman, man, he's one of the better receivers in the country. I mean, that guy makes plays. We got to be able to limit some of those explosive plays and limit those guys, right? I think if you can do a good job of managing that, I think our defense will go out there and handle business, right? They might give up a couple things here and there just because they do have some good playmakers. And let's just be honest, since Hugh Freeze has been fired, this offense is, they've kind of had some new life, you know, in them. At least it appears that way. But our defense, man, I truly believe this game is going to come down to our defense really helping out in that turnover battle. You know, that was one thing that I know, yes, most of it falls on the offense for, you know, having turnovers, but our defense, man, we got to find ways. When we have those opportunities, we got to capitalize, right? We had probably two interception opportunities against Oklahoma that we didn't come up with. We got to have that. And I think that's going to be huge in this game. So defense, I think, will be huge in terms of turnovers, stopping the quarterback running game, and then finding a way to limit the explosives and doing a good job on their key playmakers. Because personally, I think if you take away those main skill guys like the Cam Colemans of the world, right? I think you're giving yourself a good chance of having a good game plan against that Auburn football team. And it's not going to be easy because it is a little bit different. You know, I know DJ Durk is a defensive guy, but I feel like they just feel like a little bit of a different football team since he's taken over. So you still go back and watch all this tape, but I think you have to put a little bit more emphasis on the last 2 weeks because something just does feel a little bit different with everything they're doing, not to mention the new quarterback. So it will be a little bit more of a different game plan, in my opinion, or a little bit more of a challenge, but that's part of it. But that said, I think that's what defense needs to do. Then back to the offense, man. I don't – one-dimensional in this game I don't think is ideal. You got a really good defense. We already have seen what happens when you're one-dimensional. People can pin their ears back and get after it. And we've been talking about, you know, Ty and, you know, not being as polished. Well, what happens is when you're facing pressure, you sense even more of that, right? You feel there's a little bit more of mistakes being made. So everything starts up front. We need our guys healthy and ready to go. And I'm really curious to see the status of Brailsford, Quavis. Those guys are really important, right? Both in the running game, but then Quavis also in the passing game. And I'll be honest with you. If our center is not healthy in this game, that would cause me some concern, just being completely honest. I know Vandermark filled in for him last game. I'm sure he can do it, but losing your center is that's a big loss. But it sounds like everything's gearing up for those guys to be able to play in this game. I just don't know exactly what status. So that's kind of like my overall, I guess, quick little outlook on this game. But we're going to dive into it deeper here in a second with Clint Lamb. So let's go ahead and hit this top the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Clint from Cover Crimson. We'll talk more about this Auburn-Alabama Iron Bowl matchup, get his thoughts, his keys, all that good stuff. Coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts, Tide 100.9. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The San Francisco 49ers are now 8-4 this NFL season after taking the Monday night game against Carolina 20-9. Brock Purdy had an early touchdown pass, but then three interceptions thrown in the first half. Christian McCaffrey starred. He had 89 yards rushing and a touchdown, plus seven receptions for 53 yards. There are three NFL games this Thursday, Thanksgiving, including at night Cincinnati at Baltimore, and Bengals star quarterback Joe Burrow is expected to play, finally coming back from the toe injury, but wide receiver T. Higgins is out with a concussion. The Vikings place quarterback J.J. McCarthy in concussion protocol, and Browns QB Dylan Gabriel was cleared to play this weekend, but Shedeur Sanders will start again Sunday against the 49ers. In the NBA, Detroit won its 13th straight game, Toronto its 8th in a row, Sacramento in overtime over Minnesota, and in college hoops, number 3 Houston in overtime beat Syracuse.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We're now joined by our guest who joins us every Tuesday, this Talking Tuesday, top of the hour, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Clint, how's everything going for you?
It's going great, Christian. How you doing today, brother?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. Battling the storms a little bit, man, is knocking our power out and kind of throwing some things off, but we're up and rolling and we're ready to talk some ball, man. I appreciate you hopping on and joining us. As we always do, man, we got to get your opinion. Alabama had the 56-0 last weekend over Eastern Illinois. I'll just say this. I definitely thought we did. We were supposed to, but there's a couple things in there that I kind of walked away with maybe not as much confidence as I was hoping for, hoping it would have been like that true tune-up game, us reestablishing that confidence, but I feel like we left a little bit out there in certain aspects, but in others, we definitely did our thing. What did you take away from that 56-0 victory?
Not a whole lot that you can take away from it. I completely agree. I thought going in, it was a great confidence-building opportunity, offensively especially. I think, and granted, I'm speculating here, but it felt like they treated it more so like a practice on offense, where it's like, okay, what are we not doing well? well, we're not running the football well. Hey, let's run the football 50 times in this game. Let's run it so much with all three, guys on the depth chart. It didn't matter who the quarterback was out there. And let's try to get some practice in and some different looks on that front. You didn't see them pushing the football down the field. I mean, granted, was it the sharpest offensive performance? No, but I think part of that, and I mean, like I said, I could be wrong, but it almost felt a little bit like it was designed that way. And it also, the coaching staff has already kind of admitted that they did kind of go ahead and start looking ahead to Auburn and preparing for them. These types of multi-week preparation games that Alabama's had, they've typically done pretty well. And so, I mean, I would fully expect a good game plan against Auburn, but and I will say the defense played fantastic. I mean, I don't know. That's probably as close of a flawless football game as you could have possibly played. It's never going to be perfect, but they played fantastic. And it didn't matter if it was first, second, or third string. Everybody who was put on the field defensively, performed well. So that was encouraging to see.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and I agree. Defensively, I mean, they checked every box. They played with that intensity from the ones to the threes, and I think that's what it was. I think offensively going into it, and I said this yesterday on the show, maybe I was nitpicking a little bit because of my expectations. I just know at least, what I'm used to is normally with us, we always had the approach, like, we took those games as serious as anything else. Matter of fact, I think there was a clip of Tyler Siski, who was on staff here, talking about them spending 30 minutes trying to decide, to kick or receive. And he's talking about it, even if it was a game as small as that. And so it just felt, like you mentioned, kind of like their approach to this game was almost like they treated it like, hey, we're playing Eastern Illinois, which everybody has different, game plans and approaches. But for me, I was almost hoping like we would come out with that fire offensively, get in the rhythm, tune everything up that way. We walked out of that game like, all right, a lot of things that we were concerned about, not that doing it against Eastern Illinois necessarily proved anything. Just like we rushed for 269 yards. I love that we made the statement, ironically, after the committee made those comments. But I know it's Eastern Illinois, right? We have to go and do that against a quality opponent. That said, let me ask you your thoughts on this, Clint. There's a lot of talk about our quarterback, Ty Simpson, right now. He didn't have a bad game, so to speak, but he did throw two picks, one of them being an end-of-half, just throw-up situation. The other one, probably miscalculated the depth of that whole defender, and the guy made a nice play. That being said, some people still walked out of the game from Eastern Illinois after Ty's 11-16 performance, 147 yards in the first half, not very confident in terms of where he's at going into this Iron Bowl matchup, which we know how important that is. Are you at all concerned with Ty's play? Now, it's been about, three or four games that looks like he's kind of regressed a little bit, been making a few more mistakes than usual, not as accurate as he once was. Are you concerned at all, Clint, or do you feel like, it's just kind of part of it and you expect him to kind of return to form here soon?
I mean, I'm as concerned as I have been. I think a lot of it, when you first started seeing the struggles against South Carolina and then even against LSU, I think in both of those games, I thought he did some really good things against LSU. So while there were some throws and some decisions that he probably would have wanted to have had back, I thought overall he put some NFL caliber stuff on tape. South Carolina, don't feel like he played a great game. Oklahoma, definitely don't feel like he played a great game. And as you continue to see those types of performances start stack, it definitely is more concerning than it was. I mean, I think in his last six quarters of football, he's had one touchdown pass and four turnovers. That's never what you want to see. With that being said, it's not overly surprising. Like, you got to think, going back to like the Georgia game, and I've talked about this on my show a little bit, but it was like they were getting Jam Miller back. So Kirby Smart and that coaching staff, they're looking at Alabama and they say, okay, their run game should be more productive than it's been through the first three games. And up to that point, we hadn't really seen Alabama need to test anybody vertically. They were having a ton of success against Louisiana Monroe and against Wisconsin throwing the football, but not a whole lot of stuff deep downfield. But at the same time, you don't look at Alabama's offense, especially under Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, and think they can't really throw the vertical ball. So I think that back then, when defenses were preparing for Alabama's offense, they didn't understand the limitations of the offense yet. And I really think that helped Ty Simpson in really what he was doing well at that given time. As you progress through the season and as Alabama's put more tape out there, teams have figured out they can't really run the football. We haven't seen them connect on many vertical shots. And so the limitations of what they were doing well, defenses are more so able to hone in on that, and it's creating a lot of issues for the offense as a whole. Can you put that on Ty Simpson and Ty Simpson only? No, because, I mean, obviously when they start focusing in on what he's doing well, you know, you got to be able to have a counterpunch. And so the vertical ball and stuff, I'm not saying he doesn't share any responsibility. He shares a pretty big chunk of responsibility in that. But it's also the inability to run the football. I think it's, you know, the offensive line at times, the pass protection. Overall, I think it's been pretty good. But, you know, again, certain teams, it's kind of broken down a little bit. So it's definitely an offensive problem as a whole. You know, before it was like last year, the limitations of the offense, their default was, okay, let's lean on Jalen Milroe's legs. And that could be the focal point. Now it's more so Ty Simpson and let's turn to him and his arm. And, you know, with the limitations that's currently coming with that, I just don't think it's kind of like last year where you started down the stretch seeing it falter, kind of fall off a little bit. You're starting to see the same thing. So they've got to get some of these issues corrected, because if not, you will continue to allow these quality defenses to kind of hone in on what you do well. It's going to make everybody's life more difficult.
We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Check them out at Cover Crimson on YouTube. Also, Clint R. Lamb is his ex. You guys already know who he is, but if you haven't, man, go check him out right now. They do a lot of good stuff. Clint, you're echoing everything that I've been saying. It's the same idea, right? That, you know, he's going to get a lot of that attention and a lot of that blame. It's like they get a lot of praise. We're talking about the quarterback here, but if you look at the you know, the ins and outs of everything, you're right. I mean, you're putting a lot of pressure on a guy when you are one dimensional. And that's why I say the same thing with Milroe when he got so much flack. I'm like, yeah, I mean, he definitely needs to play better, but look, I mean, we're leaning on him to do so much and we're not able to do some other things. That's kind of, unfortunately, a product of what happens when you are one-dimensional. So looking ahead, Clint, we've got the Iron Bowl coming up, right? And we just talked about our offense and some of those deficiencies. Our defense is playing great. Give me a quick little preview just kind of how you see this game going. We're talking about an Auburn football team, Clint, that they've been struggling, sure, but since they've fired Hugh Freeze, I mean, last two games, I think they put up almost around 100 points or so. They've had a quarterback change. They've got some new life. It seems like we know they've got a good defense. How do you see this game panning out for Alabama as they travel to Jordan-Hare this weekend?
Well, you know, I think what Derek Nix has done a great job of since taking over the offense for Hugh Freeze is featuring his playmakers, right? I mean, you've seen a lot of Cam Coleman and a lot of Eric Singleton. I think over the last two games since Derek Nix became the offensive coordinator, those two guys have averaged 9.5 targets apiece. So they're getting the football to their playmakers. I think as far as the run game, you know, Jackson Arnold is a mobile threat. Don't get me wrong, but when you look at guys like Ashton Daniels and then, of course, Deuce Knight against Mercer, that's a different level of mobility. And Deuce Knight more so than anybody. So I think that's added a wrinkle or a little bit more strain on opposing defenses. Obviously, Jeremiah Cobb, he's kind of a one-man show in that backfield at the running back position, but he's closing in on 1,000 yards rushing. So he's kind of Dylan Johnson at Washington-esque in the sense that they really rely on just one guy, but he's pretty effective. They got a lot of quality wide receivers. Malcolm Simmons have been playing a huge chunk of his snaps in the slot. And then against Mercer, I think, 32 of his 38 snaps were on the outside. So I think he's slowly taking over for Perry Thompson as that third starter alongside Coleman and Singleton. But they're big up front. Brandon Frazier's a big tight end. You know, their offensive line averages over 6'5 and close to 330 pounds. Definitely better, you know, run blockers than pass protectors. And so I think if Alabama's defense can put them in some unfavorable situations and to a point where the legs can't compensate with these quarterbacks, maybe you can kind of tee off a little bit and apply some pressure against an offensive line that has not protected the quarterback well. And then when you look at Alabama's secondary, I think they should be able to hold up pretty well against Auburn's receivers. I definitely think Auburn's receivers will get their fair share of wins, but I just don't think Auburn's seen the secondary quite as good or as deep as Alabama's. So that's what I'm going to be looking out for on that side of the football. And then defensively for Auburn, they're really good up front. They got a lot of NFL caliber playmakers, especially the two edge guys. They got a second level linebacker that is very aggressive. It's great at being a playmaker on the second level. You can put him on the edge, let him get the quarterback. And Xavier Adkins, I think he's playing really good football. I think he's got 7.5 sacks, you know, while only having under 90 pass rushing snaps so far this season. So he's been very efficient when they've sent him. And so that first and second level for Auburn, that's going to be something to keep in mind if you're Alabama offensively, is you got to avoid those unfavorable situations because that pass rush can definitely tee off on you. But I also think that Auburn's got some vulnerabilities in the secondary where, you know, Alabama can take advantage if they can give Ty Simpson a little bit of time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Passing defense is one thing they struggle with. But you're right, that front seven, man, they've got some good players. And we all know, man, they're going to give us their best shot. So I'm definitely expecting a heavyweight matchup. Let me ask you this about our running game, right? I mean, I know we always talk about it, try to get it back going. Do you think there could be some opportunities? And you think that's something that we try to get going, knowing that they do have some good pass rush, knowing the struggles of playing on the road? Do you see our running game being a key part to our game plan? And do you think we have success doing it?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, here's the thing. It was not trending in the right direction for a while. I think the last couple of weeks, and there's only so much, very little you can take away from as far as Eastern Illinois. But when you talk about Oklahoma and what they provide as far as, you know, run defense, I mean, the fact that Alabama had the level of success that it did, which was nothing crazy, I just think it was enough to really complement, you know, a passing. And if they could continue to get that or maybe a little bit to a better, you know, more of that extent, then I think that the run game is certainly heading in the right direction right now. It's slow. It's not like it's any sort of significant jump back in the right direction. But I was actually talking about this earlier, and I found it interesting. When you think about the games that, in my opinion, Alabama probably ran the football the best, it would have been Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Oklahoma. I don't think against Georgia statistically they were great, but you saw some good things on tape. And, you know, when you look at what they did against Vanderbilt and Missouri and Oklahoma, that was a run game, I think, that, you know, you can kind of win with. It's been better than it has. What's interesting is that those are the only four top 25 run defenses that Alabama has played this year. When they've gone against Tennessee, who ranks number 42, South Carolina at 46, and LSU at 31, all respectable run defenses, but not to the extent of those other ones. Those are the games, in my opinion, where they have struggled the most. That's really fascinating to me, and I can't really tell you why that is. But what I can tell you is that Auburn currently ranks 11th. And so if they stay on that trajectory, maybe they can move the football well enough. I think up front defensively, Auburn, you know, they've got some good interior players, but I think that maybe between the tackles, you can get some stuff done. Keldrick Falk is an amazing run defender. I mean, just a big, powerful guy, strong at the point of attack. And so that will be one that you'll need to keep an eye on. I think he's definitely got, you know, top 10 potential. But, you know, I do think that will they have a lot of success running the football? Probably not. But I do think that with where things are trending right now, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they had a little bit more success running the football than people think. And hopefully if that ends up being the case, they can do what they need to do to play off of that in the passing game and really try to get some of that stuff going too.
Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson joins us like he does every Tuesday on our Talking Tuesday top of the hour right here on the Miller's Edge. Again, at Cover Crimson on YouTube, at Clint R. Lamb on Twitter, as well as at Cover Crimson on X. Excuse me, always makes that one up. Clint, real quick, I got a couple more questions before we let you roll. Auburn, speaking of them, sticking on that topic, you mentioned the quarterbacks. Well, now they've got about three quarterbacks that have all played in the last, what, 3 weeks or so. How many do you think we end up seeing? I know it's kind of a challenge to predict that. I mean, we all anticipate Ash Daniels starting, but they've got Jackson Arnold, who they pay a lot of money to come here. He actually beat Alabama last year when he was at Oklahoma. Then you've also got Deuce Knight, the young freshman that got his first start this past weekend, and looked pretty damn good doing it. And like you mentioned, I mean, he's kind of got that athletic ability that kind of gives him a little bit, I guess, of a different side to him than some of the others. Do you think it's possible we see a multiple quarterback situation? Do you think they just stick with Ashton Daniels? Then if it's not going great, maybe they make a change. What do you think their game plan might be regarding the quarterbacks?
I definitely think you're going to see multiple. I think Ashton Daniels starts. I've heard some people say that just based off of what Deuce Knight did them against Mercer and just the dynamic ability they bring to the table, I think he's got a lot of arm talent. We all know he's a fantastic runner. Some people think you just need to swing for the fences and roll with him. I think with the way that Alabama's defense is able to cause problems for opposing quarterbacks and present different pictures pre and post snap, I just think that with the way they can turn the football over, you don't want a true freshman out there handing Alabama's offense extra possession. But I do think that they will work him in. You know, a lot of people, when you see him come on the field, it will probably be more so as like, hey, they probably want to use his legs a little bit. but they might try to throw Alabama off and kind of bring him in expecting to run and then let him throw the football a little bit. But just in those situations, it would probably be very safe throws because you don't want him losing the game or, once again, creating any sort of separation for Alabama. But I just think that Ashton Daniels played really well against Vanderbilt. You know, I think that he presents some problems, but just Deuce Knight and just what he showed against Mercer, it's going to be way different going against Alabama. But I think he probably showed enough where he'll get some opportunities, and they might have, you know, some specific Florida State-esque type of packages maybe, or things that they do as far as getting people in motion on jets and things like that, try to screen Alabama east-west. That will present, you know, some quarterback run opportunities, whether it be for Ashton Daniels or Deuce Knight. So I believe it's going to be Ashton Daniels, and I definitely think Deuce Knight's going to get some opportunities. I just don't know to what extent.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Kind of what I was thinking might be the case. Last thing, Clint, that I got to ask you, man. We saw there's a number of guys out this last game against Eastern Illinois, most notably Center Parker Brailsford, Josh Cuevas. I think that one was a little bit of a surprise. I'm not sure. Maybe it was just me. I wasn't aware he was injured, and I guess maybe that's because they don't have to really list the injury report without a conference games or something like that. But then also Jeremy Bernard. Those three guys who are three of your most important players on offense did not play last weekend. Do you have any updates on those guys, or what are your thoughts on where those guys stand for this Iron Bowl? Because we all know how important those three players would be.
I do think you're going to see Parker Brailsford. I don't know if he'll be 100%, but I do think he'll be available. I think Jermaine Bernard will be available. Josh Cuevas, I'd be very surprised. Now, granted, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, and that's a tough loss for Alabama. I really like their tight end room. I think they got some good players. But just what Cuevas has provided, I mean, he's got 40-plus targets so far this year. So he's probably going to be topping out by the end of this season, bare minimum 50-plus. Well, I guess it should have been available. But he's just, as far as creating yardage after the catch and being a reliable presence, he's going to catch the football. You can go to him in those critical situations and you can trust him. He's just, he has been a big part of the offense. And having that pass catching threat, I think, is so vital to Alabama's offense, because last year, you know, with the two tight ends that they had, when they go 12 personnel, you're not really thinking a whole lot of throwing the football. Now, granted, Jalen Milroe was their quarterback, so that was to be expected, and it kind of played into his strengths as well. But, you know, you just never want to be too one-dimensional with your tight ends, where if you're putting out Jay Lindsey and a Caleb Edwards, like the defense knows, you're probably going to be running the football. You want pass catchers that can also block, and Caleb Edwards certainly provides that. I think he's got tremendous upside and is going to end up being a very, very good player for Alabama. But just that position has been hit pretty hard, and they're going to have some guys step up. There's no doubt about it, because some of those tight ends are going to be asked to block some of those Auburn edges, and that's the strength of that football team for Auburn. So those tight ends are definitely going to have to bring it.
That's a great point, man. You're right. The battle of the sea area, man. Tight ends and edge guys. I know all about that one. Definitely going to be something to look out for in this game. And Clint, man, I appreciate you. Hey, listen, best expert analysis when it comes to Alabama football out there, man. Before we let you go, tell everybody how they can keep up with all that good analysis, all the good work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Christian. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, we got a YouTube channel, Cover Crimson. We also have, you know, podcasts, search Cover Crimson Podcast Network wherever you listen. And then also at Clint R. Lamb on X or Twitter. Definitely like to engage and answer any questions over there. So hope to see you all over there. And Christian, once again, brother, I appreciate you having me on, man. This is always one of the highlights of my week.
Hey, man, listen, you're welcome anytime, brother. We always appreciate you and all the good work you do, man. Have a great rest of your week and enjoy the Iron Bowl.
Absolutely, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Absolutely. I'm forgetting it's Thanksgiving, man. I'm so locked in on football. You're exactly right. Happy Thanksgiving, Clint. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's all good, man. You have a great rest of your week, brother.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Dang, we're so locked in on the Iron Bowl. I'm forgetting Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I forgot to wish my guy a happy Thanksgiving, man. Good stuff, man. Big thanks to Clint. He joins us every Tuesday at the top of the hour, man. Great stuff, as you heard, man. Clint's as good as it gets when it comes to breaking things down, doing your homework, knowing the game. I mean, Clint is he's awesome, man. So make sure you guys check out his stuff. I know you already have, but if you haven't, go check them out right now. Cover Crimson on YouTube at X, Cover Crimson, and at Clint R. Lamb is his personal as well, man. Really good stuff. We're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond to it. I'm sure you guys have some questions, comments, or concerns. We'll do that. Plus, Tuesday means there's typically player interviews, so we'll see who spoke to the media today and want to stay listen to that as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Create customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more and let's help your business score big.
Hey, it's Christian Miller and I want to tell you about my friends over at Towns & Nissan, the number one volume Nissan store in Alabama. Family owned for over 50 years, Towns & Nissan is your home team for unbeatable deals and the best service. A lifetime powertrain warranty and platinum dealer status means you get top-notch service and the best interest rate. They even cover your first 2 years of maintenance, including oil changes and tire rotation.
Apps on his phone and that sound, that's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Inside Irvin's in Northport. One day only, and it's going to be fabulous.
Tell them Van the Boot Man sent you.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9. 1230 WTBC. We just got done talking with Clint Lamb of Covered Crimson. Really good stuff there, man. We had a great conversation on the Iron Bowl. Deep dive. Clint did a great job really breaking down this matchup. A lot of their guys, players to watch out for. And he definitely highlighted some of those key potential matchups in this game, talking about the potential that you're not going to have your tight end Quavis in this game, knowing the guys that Auburn has up front, they do really well on their edges. Definitely a matchup to pay attention to. But again, if you guys haven't, man, check out Clint and all the good work that he does at Cover Crimson on YouTube, X, all that good stuff, and at Clint R. Lamb as well for his personal page. All right, Chase, so normally we like to get into these player interviews. I'm not seeing any come up just yet, so I don't know if the schedule's different or they just aren't there. So we'll definitely keep you guys posted when those do come up because I'm curious to see what guys have to say because – we didn't have any player interviews yesterday, but we did hear Jeremy Bernard do an interview. He was joining the next round. He does that weekly, and he had some interesting comments, Chase, and I'm curious. I know we briefly touched on it, but I know there's been a lot more talk about it since we last did the show. Some people, you know, not necessarily, I wouldn't say like not feeling it, but saying, nah, I wish he probably wouldn't have gave them bulletin board material, and others saying, nah, we want to stand on that. Nah, he should be confident and we stand behind him. As I'm pulling these comments up, Chase, what's your, I guess, view on it, right? And basically, just to summarize what he said before I pull up the clip, it really was just him saying, you know, a lot of people feel like are saying, you know, what Auburn might do. Well, what if we go out and do this? What if we go blow them out like we did last year? Did you have any thoughts about that? Did anything about that, I guess, not rub you the wrong way, but did you think to yourself, I wish you wouldn't have said that, or were you like, oh, no, you like that, you're all good with it?
I have no issue. If they can say it, we can say it, honestly. If we back up what we put on the field, and we're not going to sit down and be quiet. You know, I've noticed a lot this year which I like the bravado from Alabama football players. And they're not afraid to speak their mind, and they back it up on the field. And for example, like during media days, you know, Tim Keenan, when he had spoke about, I believe Florida State's, I forgot his name, Castellanos. He had said something, and they said, we're going to deal with it as men. And obviously, the result wasn't what they hoped for.
I was like, wait, Chase.
But they still were not afraid to speak their mind. And, you know, it replicated throughout the season where they are right now. Because look at Florida State right now, an afterthought. So I just feel like Alabama has the backing. They have the firepower. And, heck, they can back up what they're doing. Why not speak it? You know, why run from something if you got it? I don't see the issue if someone's like, well, you shouldn't say anything. Just no, say something. You're in an age where social media is more open than ever. You have a mic in your face, you have a camera in your face, you use it to your advantage. And honestly, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, speaking of what he said, this is what he said. Again, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but again, it brought up some conversations. This is what Jeremy Bernard said when he was asked about the Iron Bowl matchup.
First time experience playing there, and it's some of the other guys the first time as well, and so like just hearing all the stories and seeing all like the highlights of the games that they played there, like it's obviously a great atmosphere and, you know, a place that a lot of people want to play, but who says we can't change that, you know what I mean? Who says we can't go out there and you know what I'm saying? Blow them out how we did last year. Not saying like they're a bad team. Like they're a great team. But like Coach always says, like we don't have to make the games close. And so like that's just kind of like our approach into the game. Like we don't have to make this game close if we don't need it to be. You know, obviously they gonna play us hard. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, they have a great squad and they gonna be ready to play first.
So that was what he said again. Not bad at all. It's just, you know how this works, Chase. People on that side of things, they're going to clip. This is how it always works with media, right? They're going to clip that one part. And you could tell he's trying to find the words to explain, and he just kind of went with probably what he naturally was thinking. I mean, probably if you go back, maybe would have worded it like, who's to say we can't go out there and play a great game like we did last year or last season? Yeah, but he used the words to blow them out, which, again, people are going to clip that and make that. I'll be honest, from my opinion, my perspective, it is what it is. I mean, is it going to be bulletin board material for those guys? Sure, right? But it's not like they probably don't have a whole bunch of other things that have been said throughout the years. Like, at least like from my experience being here, it didn't matter if someone said something like recently or not, or whatever the case was. Like, they would have like bulletin board material from whenever it was, right? It could be from a couple of years ago. So it is what it is. I think the biggest thing is, like you're saying, they just got to go out there and play their game, right? Now, it didn't go great last time, right, with the whole Florida State deal, but this to me is a little bit different. It's not he was really trying to do anything. He just answered the question and used the word choice was one thing. But listen, man, I think I saw somebody say this. At the end of the day, they're going to come out fired up to play regardless of what bulletin board material they have or whatnot. So you just got to be ready for that type of matchup regardless, but this was curious. I didn't know what you guys thought as well. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll keep on rolling. 205-342-9904. I think we had JR on the lines earlier, and I completely forgot to get to him before we did all the other stuff. So JR, if you're still there, I would love to take your call. I have a feeling you probably dropped, but if he's there, we'll take him. If not, we'll keep on rolling. If anybody else wants to jump on, 205-342-9904 is the number. Quick timeout. We'll keep on rolling right here in the Miller's Edge. Tide on point 9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session. Join
on a Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to Auburn for the 90th edition of the Iron Bowl. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
All IQBAR products, plus free shipping when you text IQBAR to 64,000. Text IQBAR to 64,000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBAR to 64,000.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and early tonight. The high today, 72. Tonight's low, 63. Tomorrow, becoming mostly sunny and cooler, the high, 60. Thursday, sunny with a high at 51. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, Tuesday also means it's player interview day post-practice, so we've got a couple of them that have just now been uploaded. You got Ty Simpson and Deontay Lawson, but first let's start with the quarterback himself, Ty Simpson, who spoke to the media post-practice. This is what Ty had to say.
There's games that, you know, I've done it and nothing's wrong. You know what I mean? So I'm just happy to be out here and got better today.
How drastic is the contrast of when things are going well and then when things aren't going well? How big of a difference is that for you? And what has that been like to kind of be on both sides of that?
I mean, yeah, it sucks. But I wouldn't even say, you know, things are going, you know, bad. You know what I mean? Like, there's just one play here or there that if we clean up, then we're not even talking about this, right? You know what I mean? So I think, you know, people are blowing it out of proportion. And we're just going to go play our ball. Like, that, you know, we're not listening to, you know, what everybody has to say. Like, we're focused on ourselves and just focused on doing, you know, our job. And that's what we've been doing since, you know, since the start of the season. So, you know, that's our mindset. And that's what we're going to do.
In that way, does it feel similar to what you guys learned coming out of the Florida State game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the doubt and the, you know, just everything, our backs against the wall right now. Like, we know the hostile environment in Jordan-Hare. We know what's at stake for both teams, right? Like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? So, you know, it's a, you know, a great test for our team, a great, you know, testament to the guys in general. Just, you know, just super excited. And what a great game, you know what I mean? Like, what would y'all rather be doing on Thanksgiving? I know what I'd be doing. Right.
Talk about backs being up against the wall, but the SEC released the scenarios this week, and for Alabama to win and you're in the SEC title game. Is that kind of comforting, knowing that it's not up to anyone else? Like, y'all are kind of in control of your own destiny.
Yeah, I mean, we've said that, you know, all along, right? Like, it's all on us, right? It's all about us. So guess what? Like, we go do our job, and, you know, everything else will take care of itself. But, you know, guess what? Biggest thing is we gotta go do our job.
Especially with a chance to secure a spot when you're playing a rival, how do you view the opportunity?
I mean, just, you know, super blessed, like I said. Like, you know, growing up, who wouldn't want to play in the best rivalry in college football? You know, the Iron Bowl, Alabama against Auburn, all the memories that, you know, teams have had against each other, right? Like, you know, the bad blood. It's just great. Like, you know, growing up in the South, growing up, you know, watching SEC football, like, this is what you dream of. And just, you know, what a great opportunity that I have to be, you know, starting quarterback on one of the teams.
Ty, UT Martin has very similar colors to Auburn. Is it weird? That's all the time you spent around the orange and navy kind
of thing? So full disclosure, back in the day when I was a little kid, I used to, my mom used to buy me Auburn stuff because it's the same colors as UT Martin. So, but we would take out the Auburn and we would put UT Martin on it, but it would be Auburn colors. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a UT Martin's got Hulkish in the back of my head going against my dad's team, so maybe give me some motivation.
You know what's at stake for this game. You know what you can prove. Talk about all that. How do you sort of compartmentalize the stakes of this game versus just going out and playing football?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we look back and we've been here before, you know, hostile environment, like, you know, Georgia, you know, you think about South Carolina, like, we've been through, you know, a tough time in our season, right? Just, you know, different challenges, you know, but it goes back to, you know, how our team is, how resilient we are, and, you know, how we all play for one another. That's what's going to be this weekend, right? Like, it's for all the marbles. You know, let's go get it.
Last two. Of course, yesterday his favorite Thanksgiving dish is just the Thanksgiving stuff. But do you have a favorite Thanksgiving dish you're looking forward to eating this week?
Yeah, I like sweet potato casserole. Like my grandmother, my mom, they make the best sweet potato casserole. So hopefully I'll get some of that this weekend.
Well, we're liking that way for sure, man. I'm definitely a big fan of sweet potato casserole also. So that being said, let's hit a timeout to stay on schedule. That was Ty Simpson speaking to the media post-practice. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. We also will hear from Deontay Lawson. Listen to the Miller's Edge, Ty 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Is Christian Miller, host of the Miller.
Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
It's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
We'll maintain the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and early tonight. The high today 72, tonight's low 63. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny and cooler, the high 60. Thursday, sunny with a high at 51. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Top 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, let's get back and rolling. We got one last interview to get to. We got Deontay Lawson. He spoke to the media, and we'll probably get to most of it, but we'll probably have to cut it just a bit short. But without further ado, this is what the signal caller of the defense had to say post-practice.
I think the energy was high.
not many mistakes, but always things we can clean up. We'll watch the film on practice later and find what we can correct and, you know, get back to it.
Y'all played a bunch of mobile quarterbacks already this year. What do you see in Ashton Daniels, Deuce Snyder, or maybe Jackson Daniels?
Man, they are three great quarterbacks that can run. They love the plus one run game with the Q, and, you know, they can out-leverage us if we're not gap disciplined and, you know, don't do our job in the box. But, you know, they're all three very athletic, and, you know, we'll have our hands full for sure.
It's been a minute since y'all seen some tempo in your Tennessee game. What are you seeing Auburn's tempo?
Yeah, I mean, we prepare for tempo every week, so it's not nothing that will catch us by surprise or anything. They like tempo off you know, going on to third down, and, you know, they like a hard count. Not really looking to run a play for real, but that's something we'll be prepped for, and, you know, we'll be ready for it.
What are you telling everybody about Jordan-Hare Stadium?
I haven't really said nothing. I mean, we've been in a hostile environment. We know the history and the, you know, the tradition of this game. Man, we just got to be extra locked in, extra detailed this weekend. You know, create our own environment and, you know, just dominate the environment. That's the key to the game for sure.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
I like mac and cheese. But really, I like a good roll on the side. You know, the Hawaiian rolls. I love them rolls. So yeah, that's my top two right there.
As an in-state guy, how much do you look forward to this game?
Man. You know, you grow up watching this game. So much history, so much tradition behind this game, and, you know, you always sat in the living room looking at the TV saying, this is going to be me one day. And, you know, man, I'm super excited. I think I get more excited every year. Didn't get to play in the game last year, so definitely a little more amped up this year, but super excited, ready to go, for sure.
What's the first Iron Bowl you remember?
The first Iron Bowl I remember, dang. It would have to be 2010, Cam Newton. That's just the first thing that strike my memory. And, you know, I was kind of against Alabama a little bit back in the day, but had to make some business decisions once I got older, and now it's Roll Tide, and, you know, we don't like them, so yeah.
This game, obviously, the Iron Bowl is a big deal around here, but also if you win, you get to go to Atlanta. How much are you kind of preaching that, just the importance of this game?
Man, we all know what's at stake with this game, and, you know, we're not really preaching about it too much. I mean, like I say, everyone knows if we win, what happens, if we lose, what happens. So all we can do is control, and that's how we come on, our energy, we come on the practice field, our execution. And, you know, by the time the game comes, I'm sure we'll be very detailed, very locked in, and very excited to play the game. And we just got to do our job, and we'll be all right.
Not a ton of reps for you or Justin and Nakai last week. What do you see from those young linebackers?
Man, the same thing that I see during practice. They was flying around. Luke Metz, Duke Johnson, QB Reese, even though he got banged up, Caden Jones, they was flying around, making plays, trying to make plays, doing their job. But yeah, they're definitely continuing to improve. I know Coach Chuck, he does a great job with us, and he'll have them guys ready to go when it's their time for sure.
How good was it?
All right, we're going to stop that there because we're running out of time. But real quick, big thanks to Big Phil in the chat for the super chat, man. Definitely appreciate that. Always appreciate y'all's support here on the show. That being said, we have to get out of here, make room for Wyatt coming up next. We will continue this tomorrow, continue breaking down the Iron Bowl, dive into it a little bit deeper, and hopefully we'll have some scheduled times. Again, anticipating getting Josh Pate and Roman Harper, if not both, at least one of them, over the next couple of days or so. So be on the lookout for that as well. This has been the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Art Sport Experts, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. See you guys then.